Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the second line from the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Omid Beis. As you can see, in the middle of that line, there is a geometric form that we term the bow tie shape. We will offer an explanation to the shape and topic in our standard Nosei Mivneh heading that you find in the outside margin of our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings. You will notice in this case we have it written in the margin, Nosei Mivneh, topic. Nosei is a topic, Mivneh a structural note, wherein we try to present the meaning behind the different forms in each new sugya. Here you can see the bow tie form with a Roman numeral 1 and 2. The Roman numeral number 1 is right here at the bottom of Mem Zayin, Omid Beis, and Roman numeral number 2, you will notice a little less than halfway down, Mem Ches, Omid Aleph, also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. These are Shnei Mekoros, we've written in the side, Shnei Mekoros, Be'inyan Kivsei Atzeres U'Shnei Halechem, two sources that deal with the Kivsei Atzeres, the double sheep offering that's brought on the holiday of Shavuos, that are a Korban Shlomim, and the Shnei Halechem, the two loaves that are brought with the two sheep. Bechol Mokor, in each one of the sources presented here in the Gemara, Muva Mikre Shel Ribui, there will be a case of something extra. In source number 1, we will see that there are 4 chalos brought instead of the standard 2. And in source number 2, there will be featured 4 sheep brought instead of the standard 2. We will also employ a double underline with dots in it to highlight the numbers that are featured in each source. The case in the first source will see Shnei and Arba, Shnei Kvosim and Arba Chalois, and in source 2 we will see a reference to Arba Kvosim, 4 sheep, and Shtei Chalos, 2 loaves. We now turn to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Shochat Shnei Kvosim al Arba Chalois. 2 sheep were slaughtered, which is the correct number. However, he had 4 loaves of bread. 4 loaves is more than is necessary. All you need are 2. Moshech Shtayim Mehen Umenifon. You draw 2 of them from the 4, and they will participate. They will be part of the waving ceremony that is to be done with the Kivsei Atzeres. Rashi points out that in bringing the sheep on Shavuos together with the loaves, the 2 sheep and the 2 loaves, before the sheep are slaughtered, there is a waving with the sheep together with the breads, and after they are slaughtered, there is also a waving. So we're talking here about the waving after the slaughtering. 2 sheep and 2 loaves are waved. They're placed on the arms of the Kohen, and he does a waving action with them on his arms. Vashar necholos bepidyon. The other 2 loaves, those that you are not using, that are not part of the sacrifice, are to be eaten with upon redemption. The topic heading that accompanies this section of Gemara, if we look in the outside margin, we notice the term Nosei is featured, under which we've written Diyun, a discussion. Im Nitan Lahamid Hamokor Shepoidim HaLechomim HaMiyutorim Achrei Shitas HaKvasim, the source that we just learned, which mentions the redeeming of the loaves, the extra loaves, after the slaughtering of the Kvasim. This idea of redeeming them, is it Kerebi? Oidavka Kereb Elozer Rebbe Shimon? Can it be understood according to Rebbe, or even according to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon? Now these are two Tanaic names or sources that we discussed at length in our previous shiur. So for a brief recap, according to Rebbe, upon the slaughtering of the Kivsi Atzeres, the sheep, the slaughtering of the sheep that are the Kivsi Atzeres, the two loaves, the Shtei HaLechem, that are brought together with the Mashvus, achieve their high level of Kedusha, that is Kedushas HaGuf. Generally speaking, that which has Kedushas HaGuf is not subject to redemption. According to Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the Kedushas HaGuf, the high level sanctity that the Shtei HaLechem eventually achieve, that is accomplished not only after the Shechita, but you need to have the Zrikas Hadam as well. Before it achieves the Kedushas HaGuf, then it is subject to redemption. Turning now to the Gemara, Amrua Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Chisda. We employ this squiggle underline here to denote the comment of the students or the colleagues that spoke up in front of Rav Chisda, which draws a response later on from Rav Chisda to the comment they're about to make. And you can see that Omar Luhu Rav Chisda is squiggle underlined a few lines later. So at this point, Amrua Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Chisda, Ha Deloi Kerebi. This source is not like Rebbe, does not conform to Rebbe, who says that at the point of Shechita alone, the loaves achieve their high level of Kedusha. Dei Rebbe, if this source were according to Rebbe, came unto Omar Shechita Mekatsha, since Rebbe holds that the slaughtering bestows upon the loaves their high level of Kedusha, Deporek Luhu Hecha, where shall redemption take place? E deporek luhu me ivroi, if one were to pode them, to redeem them outside of the Azara, outside, kevan dechsiv lifnei Hashem, since the Pasuk says regarding the loaves, the expression of lifnei Hashem is used. If Siluhu beyotze, since they've achieved their high level of sanctity, they would become rendered unfit through the psul, through the shortcoming or deficiency of yotze, exiting the Azara. And that's a function of them having gained their Kedushas HaGuf from the point of Shechita. And we're talking, of course, now at a point after the Shechita. So they would have been nifsal beyotze. E gavoi, if they are inside the Azara, so when I would redeem them, ha mail chulin lazora, I am in effect responsible for an offense known as chulin lazora, bringing the mundane into the courtyard. After the loaves are redeemed, the kedusha, the sanctity, is in effect removed from the loaves and is absorbed into the money that's set aside to absorb the sanctity. The resultant loaves then would be chulin, and there's a prohibition of having chulin in the courtyard. So at this point then, the Rabbonon's observation that they make in front of Rav Chisda, that the source that we just read concerning the redemption of the loaves cannot be understood under the in terms of Rebbe. Amar lehu Rav Chisda, le'olam kerebi. This source can conform to Shitas Rebbe. Uporek lehu gavoi, and the redemption takes place before the loaves are taken outside. V'chulin memelo kahavion. The fact that they gain a chulin status, a mundane status, he is not in violation of bringing chulin into the Azara. And because the chulin status that they gain is a passive chulin state. It occurs in a passive way. That's what's meant by memela. In other words, he is not bringing chulin into the azara. But as Rashi says, memela havyon the soicho azara heinas and chulin v'hulo hichnison mishina asu chulin. He didn't bring them in as chulin. He brought loaves into the azara in a holy, having a holy status, a status of kedusha, and just upon the redemption, so the kedusha was removed. Omar le Ravino the Ravashi v'hotanya, but is there not a source that says kishu podon, when he comes to redeem the loaves, ein podon elo b'chutz, the redemption takes place only outside because of the problem of chulin b'azara. So you see that they are being redeemed outside, and we don't seem to be concerned about the psul of yotzei. The Gemara answers, ha vavei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he. This source has to be according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Rebbe, if it were according to Rebbe, ha ifsulu b'yotzei, they would have been rendered void and unfit at the point of exit. Here, the Gemara has a question. And you can see we have a long question marking. It lasts around 6 lines of Gemara, as is indicated by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The shin that you see encircled is a she'ela, a question. The Gemara says, Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rav le Ravashi. Rav Acha suggests, Lema teve tuvtei de Rabbi Yochanan mei ha. Should we say that which we have learned, the case of Shochat, slaughtering the kivsei atzeres over 4 loaves, and we saw that the kedusha, the sanctity, resulted or was absorbed in all 4 loaves by virtue of the fact that in order to eat the unnecessary ones, one would have to redeem them. That this would be in opposition to an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that will be stated momentarily. The Itmar, and now we'll see his opinion in the context of a machlokas that he has with Chizkiya. Toda, a korban toda, is a type of sacrifice that involves an animal, along with which are brought 40 loaves. So the case here features a toda, sheshochta al shmoinim chalos. He slaughtered a toda over 80 loaves, twice the required number. Chizkiya Omar kitshu arboim mitoch shmonim. Chizkiya says that sanctity does settle upon or is absorbed within 40 of the 80. Rabbi Yochanan Omar lo kitshu arboim mitoch shmonim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you brought too many loaves, so there is no sanctity. Well, we had a case with the Kivsei Atzeres if he brought twice the number of loaves as well, and we saw that sanctity did settle upon them. So the question is, why is there sanctity in the case of the Kivsei Atzeres and 4 loaves? So the Gemara responds, the lav mi itmar alo, was it not said according was it not said concerning this case of the toida sheshochta shmoinim chalos? Omar Rizera kol moedim, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yochanan, hechod yomar liktishu arboim misoich shmoinim de kotsha, if someone declared, I want 40 of the 80 to become sanctified, that would take effect. Then there would be sanctity amongst 40 of the 80 loaves. Hachanami, so too in our case, the Omar, the case where he brought the Kivsei Atzeres and 4 loaves, he announced, Likdashu Tarti Mitoch Arba, let 2 of the 4 gain their Kedushas Haguf status. And being that everyone agreed in the case of the Toda, where you made such announcements, so too over here, everyone would agree that it does become Kadosh. It does take upon them, they do absorb the Kedusha status. Toni, Rav Chanina Tirsa, Kamei, Rav Yochanan. Here we have the second Tanaic source that we featured in the at the opening of our shiur. We also have a no say topic heading that you can see in the outside margin, where we have featured the Roman numeral number 2 in a bow tie to draw your attention to the fact that this no say will be explaining this source. The case is explained. Shochat Dalid Kvasim. He slaughtered 4 sheep. V'ein Srichin Eloshnaim. And we know that you require only 2. Kotoni, it's taught here, Diyesh Lizrok Domam Shelshnaim Horishonim Sheloi Lishma. That when you come to the sprinkling of the blood of the first 2, you should do it Sheloi Lishma. Do it with an improper intent, namely, with an intent for something other than its kivsei atzeres status. And why are we telling you to do it shaloi lishma, to do the sprinkling with a, let us say, a shlomim in mind? Kedei she efsher lizkois b'shnayim u'achroinim. So this way you will be able to benefit from the second 2, the latter 2, which will serve as your kivsei atzeres. We are in effect saying that if you were to do the first 2 sheep that had been slaughtered and you sprinkle their blood as kivsei atzeres, that would render the second 2 totally unfit, and you wouldn't even be able to eat them. Turning to the Gemara. So we mentioned that Rav Chanina taught the following source in front of Rabbi Chanina, Shochat Arbo'o Kvasim al Shnei Chalois. 4 sheep was slaughtered over 2 loaves. 4 sheep being twice the required number. 2 loaves is the expected number. Moshech Shnayim Mehem, you draw 2 of the 4 sheep, V'zorek domam sheloi lishmon, and do the blood sprinkling on the altar sheloi lishmon, with not with them in mind. In other words, you are thinking about a different type of korban other than that which they were brought for. Shimeatomakeach, if you don't say thusly, hifsadito es hoachroinim, you will have ruined the second ones. In other words, if you will have sprinkled the first sprinklings with kivsei atzeres in mind, the remaining ones, the second 2, will be of no use. You will have to dispose of them. Let us glance at the Rashi on this point. A few lines down from here, it says, if sadato es achrinim, k'nam li'el, as was stated earlier, we saw this in our previous shiur, ein l'cho dovor shenire lishmon v'nishchat lishmoi, you don't have anything that was once available for its designed purpose, slaughtered with its designed purpose in mind, v'nidche milishmon, and then cast away from their proper role, kigon hani, like the case of the 2 latter ones, the Mishenizrak Rishonim Lishmon, because if you would have the first 2 having their Zrikas Hadam done with Kivsei Atzeres in mind, Su Lo Chazu Hanoch Lishmon, the second 2, the latter 2, would not be fit for their being sprinkled as Kivsei Atzeres. The Kevan de Nidchumi Lishmon, and once they would be cast away from doing from Lishmo status, Ein Sherin Shelo Lishmon, they would not have been kosher. They would not be kosher to be done Shelo Lishmo Kishar Kol Azvochim. So let's go over this point again. We are recommending doing the first Zrika Sheloi Lishmoi, because if you are to do the first Zrika, the first 2 sheep with a Lishmo intent, the second 2 sheep, being that they were shechted lishmo, and the other 2 having been nizrak lishmo, these would be out of the ball game, so to speak. Therefore, we're saying to do things in a rather, we'll call it in an unconventional way, have the first 2 sheep even though they were slaughtered lishmo, do the zrikas hadam of them shelo lishmo. That will thereby not, that as a result of that, the second two won't be eliminated from the ball game, from becoming kivsei atzeres. Turning now to the Gemara, we notice a triangle. This triangle is featured in our Nosei Mivneh heading that you can see on the outside margin. The triangle is followed by an expression Ma'akav. This Ma'akav expression means an attempt to keep track of the give and take style of the Gemara. With the point facing up, they will represent kushios, questions, and with the point of the triangle facing down in this Gemara, they will represent tshuvos, responses. Nosei hadiyun hu, the topic of this discussion is ha'im amrinon le'odom, do we tell a person amod v'chate, go ahead and do something improper b'shvil shetizke, so that you can benefit. In effect, that's what we have described. We talked about a case of the four sheep being slaughtered, and they were slaughtered with the kivsei atzeres status in mind. And now it comes to the zrikas adam. We're telling you to take the first two sheep and do the zrikas adam in an incorrect fashion. And our whole intention is to preserve the second two sheep from being disposed. The Gemara text, Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan, v'chi oimer loy li'odom. Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Chanina, who taught this source, and he asks him, do we tell a person, amod v'chate b'shvil shetizkeh, arise and sin, in this case sinning in the form of doing azrikas hadam, doing the blood sprinkling with an improper intent. Do we tell someone to do such a thing, b'shvil shetizkeh, so that he benefits? And in our case, the benefit is the preservation of the second two sheep. V'hotnan, have we not learned the following source? Evorei chatos shinis arvu be'evorei oila. The limbs of a sin offering. A sin offering is a type of sacrifice that is ideally eaten by the Kohanim. However, there's a case that limbs of a chatas offering got mixed up with the limbs of an ola offering. An ola offering, an ola sacrifice, is something that's not to be eaten. Rather, it's completely consumed in the fire of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yitnu Lamalo, the limbs are placed on the top of the Mizbeach, V'roya Ani, and we view it. V'ro'ani es habot es besar ha'chatos lemalo, kilu he ate him. I view the chatos limbs that should not be brought on the altar, but I view them as firewood, and as such, I'm not considered in violation of putting that which should not be put on the mizbeach. But by doing this, Rebbe Lezer says, I thereby am preserving the ola as an ola, so that I put all of the limbs on the top, simply view the chatos limbs as if they're firewood, and the ola limbs are in the fire like they should be. The chachomim omrim. The chachomim don't accept this. They say tuubar tzurasan v'yetsu lebeis hasreifa. The limbs are left off the mizbeach till after their legitimate time passes, and then they are taken out to be dispensed with in the Beis HaSreifa, the fireplace for invalid or for voided sacrifices. In focusing on the Chachamim, what happens, we see that the Ola, because it got mixed up with the Chatas limbs, and I can't identify which limbs are of the Ola sacrifice, they're what's called totaled, or there's a loss. Amai, why do we subject them to the Beis HaSreifa? Lema, why not say, Amod v'chate b'shvil shetizkeh? put the limbs of the chatos together with the limbs of the ola on the fire, so that the amod v'chatei, as far as the chachamim are concerned, will be in taking the form of putting that which should not be on the mizbeach, the chatos limbs, put them on anyway, so that I don't suffer the loss of the ola. The Gemara responds, Amod v'chatei b'chatos b'shvil shetizke b'chatos aminon. Amod v'chatei b'chatos b'shvil shetizke b'oilo lo aminon. Where the sin is, the sin, the chait, is contained within the very item that I'm trying to preserve, that would be similar to the case of the kvosim that we mentioned above. Where he takes the kvosim and he does the sin in the keves itself. He takes the blood of those two extra korbanos and sprinkles their blood shelo lishmo in order to zoche in the kvosim, which are the second two kvosim, which are part of the same group. That is accepted. That's acceptable. However, to sin in one sacrifice in order to save another kind of sacrifice, which is the subject of the chatos ola mix-up, that far we don't go. We don't say sin in the chatos limbs in order to save the ola limbs. However, to sin within the kvosim to save other kvosim, that we will say. The Gemara asks, Ubechado milso mi omar, and within the same realm, do we allow this? The Ha Tanya, we have the following source. Kivse atzeres sheshochton shaloi lishmon. If you have the sheep of Shavuos slaughtered with an improper intention. O sheshochton bein lifnei zmanon bein lachar zmanon, or if they were slaughtered before Shavuos, or slaughtered after Shavuos, Hadam yizorek va'bosur ye'ochel. The blood is sprinkled on the altar and the meat can be eaten. V'im hoiso shabos lo yizrok. If these kivset seres that were shechted, shaloi lishmoi, were shechted on Shabbos, which coincides with Shavuos. So we say, don't do the sprinkling of the blood. It's Shabbos and we don't do things on Shabbos unless it's being done in the correct way. But since we have sheep that were shechted shelo lishmo, we say don't do the sprinkling. Ve'im zorak, let us say someone violated and did the zrika, hurtza lahaktir emurin leref. The sprinkling is considered legitimate in order to allow the offering of the innards that evening. Well, the question is, v'amai, why do we say on Shabbos lo yizrok? Lemo amod chate b'shvil shetizke. Why not tell the person after he did the shechita shelo lishmo on Shabbos? Granted, he did something wrong, but go ahead and sprinkle the blood, and by sprinkling the blood, you will be zoche. You will be able to offer the innards at night, and also you'll be able to eat the meat at night. And yet, we don't seem to say that. Because the chatchila we said, if it's Shabbos, loy yizrok. The Gemara answers, Amoid chatei b'Shabbos, kidei shetizke b'Shabbos amrinon. For someone to do a sin, so to speak, on Shabbos, in order to reap the benefits of that on Shabbos, that we will say, that we will allow. Amod chatei b'Shabbos kidei shetizke b'chul loy aminon. But to tell someone to do the sprinkling on Shabbos in order that after Shabbos you can derive benefit, that we do not say. So in effect, the case here of having the slaughtering done shelo lishmo on Shabbos, and since you're not going to roast the meat, you're not going to cook up the meat on Shabbos, the only benefit would be reaped after Shabbos, so we don't say, go ahead and do the sprinkling. Had there been a scenario where you could have benefited from it on Shabbos itself, then that would have been a different story. We would have been lenient. The Gemara now brings into question something that was mentioned before, namely that we mentioned above that if you had the mix-up of the Chatos and Ololims, since they were two different topics or different realms, we don't allow the sin to want to sin in one realm in order to preserve the other realm. The Gemara asks, Ubatarti mili lo omar, in two different examples that is it so that we would not say to sin in one in order to preserve the other? V'hatnan, we have the following source: Chavis shel truma shenishbara begasva elyoino, a flask containing truma, in this case truma wine, that broke. The flask broke in the upper part of a wine press. Ubetachtoina chulin tameim, and in the lower part of the wine press, in the let's say the pit that's in the front of the press, that the wine after the grapes are pressed eventually flows into this unit, and in that unit that's called the tachtoina in this case, it has chulin tameim. It has impure mundane wine. Moide Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, these Tanoim will agree. Shim Yocho Lahatzil Mimeno Revius Betaharo Yatzil. If you can find a vessel that is tohor, that's ritually pure, and save a Revius, which is a rather small quantity of the truma wine, the truma, in this case we're talking about truma that's tohar, the truma which is a tithe given to the kohen, if in the meantime you will be able to find a flask that's tohar and preserve a revius of that truma wine that broke in the upper part of the wine press, so we say even though the rest of the truma will be ruined upon its getting mixed up with the chulin tameim, nevertheless, trouble yourself and get that tohor kli. V'im lav, if there are no tohor vessels around. Before the truma broke, if you had just the chulin tameim is something that is fit to be consumed by a person, and there's no sin involved in drinking chulin tameim. However, if truma gets mixed into the chulin tameim will become unfit. This source tells us that if he has no option of saving a revius of the truma in a tohar state, there are no tohar vessels. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Tered the titame, let the truma wine flow into the lower vat or the lower pit and ruin the chulin. V'al yitameno biyad, and don't under any circumstances take impure vessels to receive the truma wine with the interest of preserving the chulin below. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Af Yitameno Biyad. Rabbi Yeshua says, if you have no Tohor vessels, all you have are Tomei vessels, take the Tomei vessels, catch the Truma wine before it goes ahead and flows and mixes in with the Chulin wine and ruins it. So we see from here, sin concerning the Truma, in order to save the Chulin. So there we have the idea of chatei in Bishvil Shetizke concerning two different categories of things. The Gemara answers, Shaini Hosam, that case is different. The Latuma Ka'azla, the Truma was going to become Tomei anyway upon its getting mixed up with the chulin tameim. So since it was going to be coming tummy anyway, the fact that we're allowing you to absorb it or receive the truma in tomei vessels, isn't considered a real case of chatei, isn't considered a real sin because of this inevitable tuma status that the truma was going to suffer from anyway. As you can see, we have a slash mark in our Gemara text indicating that which follows is a new idea. We have a topic heading and structural note that accompanies this piece of Gemara. We have a house form that appears, and they signify in this case, Shnei Mekoros, two sources, Chokos, that are arguing with one another, Be'inyin Kivsei Atzeres Shenishchatu Sheloi Lishmon, that were slaughtered with a low lishma intent. The Reb Yitzchok Posel, according to Reb Yitzchok, the Shechita Shelo Lishma renders them unfit, and the Toni Levi, according to the Toni Levi source, Eino Posel Venecha, we'll see that they don't become Posel and can be eaten. In the upcoming Gemara, after the second source is presented, we will notice a triangle that appears with its point facing up. And in the course of the Gemara, the triangles will appear flip-flopping in their positioning. This is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. With the point facing up, they will be kushios al hezberu sh'Rav Nachman, be questions challenging Rav Nachman's explanation. Rav Nachman will appear in our Gemara in a circle. We will attempt to ask on his explanation, and with the triangle face flipping point downwards, shulos, that represents responses. We have a little diagram that appears on the inside margin, and it's entitled Shalmei or Oilas Choiva, either a Shlomim sacrifice or an Ola sacrifice that's obligatory. Sheshachton Shelo Lishmon, that were slaughtered with an intent other than their designed intent in mind. Lamai Medaminon, what are we to compare this case to? So we have an obligatory sacrifice, whether it be a shlomim or an ola. There are two possibilities by way of comparison, the legal result being different. I may want to compare them to a nidova of nidova didhu, a nidova of that form. Namely, if you're talking about shalmei chova, there's a shalmei nidova. If you're going to talk about an olas chova, there's an olas nedava. So do I compare my chova sacrifices to the nedava version? Or do I compare the chova version of these sacrifices, whether it be shlomim or oilos, do I compare them to a korban chatos that is done shaloi lishmoi, in cases where the korban chatos shehukash lo b'posuk means where I'll have either a shalmei chova or an olas chova that's featured together with a korban chatos in the same posuk. Now we know that a nedova shelo lishmo is not considered posel, but a chatos sheloi lishmoi is considered posel, is considered unfit. Turning to the Gemara, Ki Asa Rav Yitzchok, Tani, when Rav Yitzchok came, he brought and taught the following source. Kivsei Atzeres Sheshochton Sheloi Kimitzvasan, the Shavuos holiday sheep offering that are Shechted Sheloi Lishmoi. They are Psulin, Utuubar Tsurasan, the Yetsu Lebeis Hasrefa. They are considered unfit. They are to be left over beyond their time and then taken out to the disposal site known as the Beis HaSreifa. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to Rav Yitzchok and he says, Mor demakish luhu lachatas tani psulim. You who compare the kivsei atzeres to the korban chatos, there is in the pasuk that deals with the kivsei atzeres, there is also mention made of a korban chatos. So you therefore view the kivsei atzeres done shelo lishmo like a chatos done shelo lishmo, and a chatos shelo lishmo is posel, is simply unfit. However, there's another Tanaic school on this matter, Tana Debei Levi, which will be presented shortly. The Gomar Shalmei Choyva Mishalmei Nedava, he, the Tana Debei Levi, who derive Shalmei Choyva, the way to treat obligatory Shlomim offerings. The example of an obligatory Shlomim offering is Kivsei Atzeres. And the way to deal with them, if done shelo lishma, is derived mishalmei nedava. They learn shalmei chova from shalmei nedava. Toni ksherim. They will teach that the shalmei chova that were done shelo lishma are kosher. The toni levi. And here you have the source. Ushar shalmei nozir sheshachdan shelo kimitzvason. That's, we're here, we're talking about a different realm, but there is something in common. Here we're talking about Shalmei Nozir, the Nozir upon finishing his Nozir period, he brings a Korban Shlomim amongst other sacrifices, including an Ola Nachatos. So a Nozir who brought his Shalmei Nozir, and he had them slaughtered, Shalo Kimitzvasa, meaning Shalo Lishma, the source tells us, Ne'echolim Liyoyim V'layla, the ain tune in lo lechem velo zroa. They're eaten within the allotted time period of a day and a night. They don't have the standard accompanying breads, which a kosher shalmei nozir does have, nor is there the giving of the zroa, the arm of the animal, to the kohen. Well, we see then in Toni Levi's source, the way we view shlomim, Shalmei Chova, which is characteristic of the Nozir's Korban Shlomim, they're parallel to a Shalmei Nedava that would have been done Shelo Lishmo. And we know, in the case of a Nedava, Shalmei Nedava, done Shelo Lishmo, they are nevertheless eaten. Meisvei. We have a Tanaic source. And in this Tanaic source, there will be a statement made toward the end, which we have dashed underlined. So if you skip ahead for a moment, you'll see it says, "Kolakosher ba'olas nedava kosher ba'olas chova." This source seems to compare an olas chova to a nedava, a obligatory ola to a voluntary type ola offering, and not compared to a chatos, even though the Ola, the obligatory Ola, is compared to the sin offering in the case of a Nazir or a Metzora. So we have a source here that opts to compare the Chova to Nedava and not to Chatos. So we have something that runs counter to that which we saw above. So the Gemara answers very simply that this source is according to the Tana de Bein Levi that said compare Chova to Nedava. So there's no question to be raised. So now let's see the question. This question, in effect, is coming on the heels of Reb Yitzchak's presentation. And Rav Nachman said that you who compare it to the, namely the Kivsei Atzeres to the Chatos, you result in it becoming Pusel. So now let's see how we are to compare things that are obligatory. Meisvei, Osham ben Shona vehevi ben Shtayim. Ben Shtayim vehevi ben Shona. Psulin. An Osham that's 1 year old, that's supposed to be 1 year old. An Osham is a type of sacrifice, and there are Osham sacrifices. We have a little chart on the inside margin which features the Osham sacrifice, so we noted there that an Osham, Nazir, or Metzora are a 1 year old animal, not more than that, and the Osham, Mi'ilos, and Gezelos are 2 year old animals, not less. So, an Oshem ben Shona, let us say a person was obligated to bring an Oshem Nazir or an Oshem Mitzora, and he brought a 2-year-old animal. Or ben Shtayim, he was obligated to bring an Oshem Me'ilos or Kizelos, and he ended up bringing a 1-year-old animal to fulfill his obligation. They are psulin, they're unfit, utubar tsurasan, v'yetzel beis ha-srefa. Utubar tsurasan, as we've seen before, means you leave the animal over till its time expires, and then, being that its time has now expired and it wasn't processed, it's taken out to the disposal site known as the beis ha-srefa. Avol oilas nozir v'oilas yoledes v'oilas mitzora. Here we have a list of obligatory Ola offerings, Shahoyu Bnei Shtei Shonim, that you brought as 2-year-old animals, Vishachdan Ksherim, and you slaughtered them, they are kosher. These are animals or sacrifices that optimally should be 1-year-old creatures, and you brought them anyway as 2-year-old creatures, they're okay. Klolo Shodavar, the rule. Kol HaKosher Ba'oilas Nedavo Kosher Ba'oilas Choyva. V'chala Posel B'chatos Posel Ba'osham. Chutz Mishaloi Lishmoi. 2 points are made in this rule, but we want to emphasize the first of the two. The first of the two says that which is acceptable in the case of an Olas Nedava, and a 2-year-old Olas Nedava is quite acceptable, will be acceptable in an Olas Chova case. We see here that we compare the Olas Chova to the Olas Nedava, and we do not compare the Olas Chova to a Chatos, even though they are Hukash, they are compared to one another in the same Pasuk. That is counter to what we saw above, where we saw in the source that Rav Yitzchak presented, or Rav Yitzchak taught something, he taught a source where we opted to compare the obligatory korban to a chatos because they were hukash in the same pasuk. Here we don't follow that. The second rule was a case of a korban chatos, that which would render a chatos unfit, would render an osham unfit as well, with the exception of the shelo lishmo deficiency. However, since this isn't the focus of our discussion, we are not going to emphasize or explain that any further. The main point is, though, that we see, and we've dashed underlined, that this approach of comparing the chova to the nedava and not comparing the chova to the chatos that appears in the same pasuk. The Gemara responds, Hai Tana, this source that we've just read, is Tana Debei Levi, who in effect is the Tana Debei Levi. And we saw that that's their unique approach, to opt to compare Chova to Nedava over comparing the Chova to the Chatos that's in the same Pasuk. Toshma to Tani Levi. Here we have a source taught by Levi, and we will see a problem that arises. Osham Nazir v'Osham Mitzora. Two types of Osham sacrifices. Sheshachton Shaloi Lishmon. Ksherin v'lo olu l'baylim l'shum chova. They are acceptable, they're not dispensed with. However, the owner does not fulfill his obligation through them. Shachton mechusar zman bebailim o shoyu bnei shtei shonim v'shachton psulim. If, however, he slaughtered them prematurely, that's mechusar zman bebailim, namely before the nazir finished his tuma period, or the mitzora before he finished his tuma period, that's mechusar zman bebailim. Or he shechted these oshams as 2-year-old animals, and they're supposed to be 1-year-old animals, as we indicated earlier. The Im Isa, if it is so that Tana Debei Levi learns Choiva from Nedava, Ligmar Mishlomim, why not learn the case of the Oshem ben Shnei Shonim from a Shlomim, that's ben Shnei Shonim. If someone voluntarily brings a Korban Shlomim that's 2 years old, it's okay. So why not compare the Oshem Chova to the case of Nedava? The Gemara answers, and you see the triangle is flipped over. This represents a response. He says, Shlomim Mishlomim Gomar. When you're within the same realm of sacrifices, like we were above, the Shalmei Chova, in the form of the Kivsei Atzeres, those will be derived from the case of the Shalmei Nedava. Since, once again, it's likewise a Shlomim. However, Osham Mishlomim Lo Gomar, that which was suggested just a moment before to derive a problematic Osham from which from the case of Shlomim, that we do not go. That's, let's say, cross comparison. The Gemara asks, "V'i gomar shlomim mishlomim, if you're willing to learn Shalmei Chova from Shalmei Nedava, digmar nami Osham Osham, why not compare one realm of Osham to another realm of Osham?" As follows, Osham Nazir v'Osham Mitzora, which are supposed to be 1 year old animals. Let's say you brought them as a 2 year old animal, like the case we had in our source. Well, why not derive them from the Oshem Gezelos and Oshem Me'ilos, which are supposed to be 2 year old animals? So that we could say, just like you have a case of Oshem that is a 2 year old animal, supposed to be a 2 year old animal, the Oshem Nozer and Oshem Mitzor should also be acceptable if you brought them as a 2 year old animal. Oshem Gezelos v'Oshem Me'ilos, may Oshem Nozir v'Oshem Metzora, or the flip case where you brought an Oshem Gezelos as a 1 year old animal when they should have been 2 year old. But since we see a precedent for a 1 year old Oshem in the case of the Oshem Nozir and Oshem Metzora. So once again, if within the same realm you are willing to make a comparison, why in the source above did it say that a Bene Shtei Shonim of the Oshem Nozir Oshem Metzora are possible? Gemara answers, Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Donin Dovar Shelo Behechshero Mi Dovar Shelo Behechshero. When we talk about learning things that are in the same realm, one from the other, we're talking about things that were both done Shelo Behechshero. Like we spoke above about a Shalmei Chova done Shelo Lishma, can be derived from a Shalmei Nedava done Sheloi Lishma. Both of them were done Shelo Behechshero, would be done improperly. But however, the Ain done in Dover Shelo Behechshero, Midover Shebehechshero. However, I'm not going to go so far as to derive something that was done improperly from something that is done properly. So that if you brought, let's say, an Osha Mitzora as a 2 year old creature, that's improper. To expect me to derive its being considered acceptable or kosher from the case of an Oshem Gezelos, which is supposed to be a 2 year old animal, that's going too far. So we don't make such a comparison. The Gemara asks, Velo, is that really so that we don't derive, that we do not derive the improper from the proper? Vahatanya, minayin liyotze. From where do I know that a sacrifice that left its domain, she'im olo lo gere, that if it's brought on the mizbeach, it's not to be brought down, sharei yotzei kosher beboma. The concept of leaving domain is actually acceptable in the realm of the boma. The boma was a private altar during a time in Jewish history where private altars were allowed. A private altar is by its very name something that an altar that appears wherever, and being that it can be done wherever, there's no problem of yotzei, of leaving a domain, because every place is its domain. So from where do I know that yotzei in the time, in the period when yotzei was a problem, but nevertheless, if it's brought on the mizbech, if limbs of a sacrifice that had left their domain were brought back into the Beis Hamikdash when domain was a concern, yet we're taught that if they were brought back in, they remain on the mizbech, even though initially they should not have been brought on the mizbech. And we ask, from where do I know this point, that if they were brought back in, which is a shelo behechshero case, where do I know that they remain on the altar? I learn it from an hechshero case, the case of the boma. The Gemara answers, and you can see the inverted triangle here at the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Tana azois teras ha'ula riba samech lei. The Tana, in learning this din, this law of limbs that left the Beis Hamikdash, that were returned and put back on the altar, that do they are not to descend. This is derived from a pasuk, from a scriptural reference, and it's not really derived from the reference to a boma. And as such, then, I am preserving the rule we said before, that I will not learn a dover shelo behechshero, something done improperly, from dover shebehechshero. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.